Dear brothers and sisters, today's sermon on the deeds of the body that a person must control, and we'll look at how to cultivate a beautiful posture that resembles the Lord. I pray that you will quickly correct any deficiencies of the body previously thought as insignificant and come forth as the perfect bride of the Lord. Last time we looked a little bit on our posture and our attitude. So from today, we'll go straight into the main part of the sermon. First, let's look into our daily lifestyle, including interpersonal skills like greetings, conversations, phone calls, and the way we treat others. From an interpersonal outlook, what is the proper way to greet others to maintain close relationships? A proper greeting posture involves standing upright and speaking with a loud voice, with a clear voice. A half-hearted nod, a careless or mumbled greeting, or bowing slightly while murmuring out of shyness does not convey sincerity. If you just say hello and just mumble, or you just say, it's nice to greet you, and mumble with a quiet voice, it's not exactly polite. You need to speak clearly. It doesn't have to be a loud voice. Even if it's in a soft tone or in a quieter tone, you do need to speak clearly. And in today's sermon, we'll look at our tone as well. We won't look into tone as much, but a person's tone is extremely important part of our posture and attitude in the way we convey our words and our emotions. And sometimes the way we speak impacts on how people view us. Sometimes, you know, In workplaces, if you continue to mumble or, you know, don't speak clearly, you may be viewed as quite unintelligent or as if something is wrong. So even though we'll focus more on posture, tone of voice is also extremely important. But overly deep bows that appear excessively submissive or really loud greetings in a quiet office should be corrected, as it can embarrass the other person. Let's say there's, you know, an office where there's a lot of people working and you're only there to see one person. You shouldn't greet the one person that you came to see loud enough that everyone in the office could hear, unless you're there to greet everyone in the office. If you're just there to see one person, then, you know, you need to respectfully and quietly say hello to the one person that you've gone to see, so you don't interrupt the others who are working. So in certain circumstances and environments, the way we greet changes. In another case, let's say, you know, someone's walking down the stairs and the person behind you is trying to greet you, then that could be dangerous because you're going down the stairs and then you have to turn around. You might make a misstep on the stairs and fall down. It's important that you realize that you need to wait if they're in a dangerous situation or a situation where it can become dangerous. Whether a person's going up the stairs or down the stairs, if someone's calling you, you need to move your body. You have to turn around and take your eyes off the direction that you are walking. So you need to wait and know the best time to greet or talk to someone. And let's say, you know, someone's really busy packing or organizing or doing something. They're in the middle of something extremely important. And if you greet them or interrupt them, then they have to stop their work. Or say someone's about to stand up or sit down and you greet them or you try and talk to them, then they have to stop what they're doing and stand back up or sit back down. So you need to check when's the best time to greet or talk to someone. Of course, it doesn't mean that you have to, you know, be cross-eyed and think about when to greet and be really stressed out about when the best time is to greet someone or talk to them. But just naturally, it would be good if you just think about whether the other person's in the middle of something or it could be in a dangerous situation. So what's the proper attitude when conversing? First, it's important to have an attentive listening posture. Even if the other person is explaining something you already know at length, you should still respectfully listen as if hearing it for the first time. The other person will be deeply moved by the respect after they realize that you've already heard it. Even if they, you know, have said it multiple times or you've heard it from other people multiple times, you know, instead of cutting them off and saying, you know, I already know this, just respectfully listen as if you're hearing it for the first time and react well as well, even though you know the story. Then the person who's speaking will also be in a good mood. But if you say, oh, I've already heard that, or I already know this story, then it might, you know, come across as if you're busy or, you know, you don't want to hear it again. And if you're the one speaking, you need to be considerate of the other person's situation. It's rude to monopolize a busy person by speaking one-sidedly and taking up time. People who talk excessively or only speak about themselves need to correct this behavior. For example, if someone talks about a specific topic in a group where everyone has different interests, others get excluded from the conversation. It's a bit of a selfish attitude that lacks consideration for others. There are those who speak in an overly loud and excited tone, a scolding or condescending manner, or with a stiff expression with no smile. Expression is also extremely important in our posture, especially if you're speaking to someone face-to-face. Or when you are the one speaking and you look at the other person who's listening and look at their expression, then you need to think about whether you have a specific expression on your face that leads to, you know, misunderstandings. If someone's talking to you and you are busy working or organizing something instead of looking at the person speaking, then the other person might misunderstand and think that you don't want to hear them. So it's a bit rude and impolite to the person who's speaking. And of course, this is part of posture. But what about your expression? Say you're looking at the person you're speaking, but your expression, your facial expression is stiff or it's quite dark. Then the other person speaking might feel, you know, a bit anxious or think as if you don't want to hear it or you're not listening properly. Sometimes, you know, people around you might ask you, are you okay? Is something wrong? Is everything okay? Is it, you know, is something difficult in your life? Then if you keep hearing these words or you hear these words, you know, a couple of times, you need to look, reflect upon yourself and think about your facial expression. Is something out of place? Is your hair a mess? Or, you know, is your facial expression quite dark or gloomy? But if you ignore that and say, no, I'm fine, like I had a great night's sleep, then you really haven't reflected upon yourself. You know, of course there are times when some people say that, because you really don't look well in terms of illness. But in other times, it could be because of your facial expression or because you seem quite messy or out of place. Then, you know, it's wise if you don't know what's wrong for you to ask people that are close to you and ask them if something's out of place or if something is wrong with you, if you don't know what's wrong with yourself. But the problem is that sometimes you don't know. You don't always have a mirror in front of you. You know, most of us women look at a mirror when we put on makeup or when we, you know, put our hair up or do our hair. But when we look at the mirror, we really focus on the makeup skills or our hair skills. We don't actually look at our facial expression. No matter how much we look in the mirror, we don't always focus on our facial expression. But other people who look at you, who speak with you, look at your facial expression and they can misunderstand. They might misunderstand thinking, oh, they don't like me or you know, they don't want to listen to me. So everyone, whether you're at work or in families or students, you know, young children, you need to reflect upon yourself. There's no need to make misunderstandings between you and another person. So it's important to check and fix any stiff facial expressions and attitude and posture. Same thing with your tone of voice. You know, speak clearly, brightly, instead of just grumbling or in a, you know, careless voice as if, yeah, whatever. You know, if you speak in a certain grumbling or low tone without any vigor, then you might be misunderstood as if, you know, you don't want to talk or you can't be bothered. So even if you need to kind of reject someone or you hear someone say things that you don't want to hear, you know, change your thoughts and be grateful that the other person thought of you. So if someone wants to give you something and you go, nah, I don't want it, instead of abruptly, you know, carelessly, or in a condescending way, rejecting them, be grateful that they thought about you and cared enough to actually ask. So even if you reject them, be grateful and don't be so blunt. In a polite voice, you need to be able to respond to other people. But, you know, if you speak too much, or you have a stiff facial expression, the problem is that it's a habit that you've got that you don't know about. So you need to reflect upon yourself. If you receive misunderstandings from other people, then you need to reflect upon yourself. So when you look back on yourself, that when you in situations where you speak, then you can check whether you're doing the right thing or not. Some people really like to speak about themselves or only speak. And if you're a person that speaks too much or speaks only about yourself, and then you're speaking to someone else and that person first listens but then starts to look around or start packing or you know, get really restless, then it's a sign that they're busy. So when you are the one speaking, then you need to look at other people's facial expressions and know when to stop And if you are the person listening, then you also need to check your facial expression and make sure that it's respectful and polite so that you can receive, you know, good words about yourself, that people want to learn from you, that people want to talk to you, because you are respectful and polite. So it's important to develop the habit of regularly examining your own words and actions. To all people who want to receive love, whether it's from friends, family, spouse, you know, workplace, are there any students that want to be popular at school? Are there any parents that want to, you know, have a good relationship with their children? Then you need to check and fix, starting from your tone of voice and facial expression. Then you'll be loved by many people. Sometimes people tap others or point fingers during conversation. Pointing fingers when conversing can be a gesture of looking down on or disregarding the other person. It's important to avoid pointing. Proper conversation etiquette does not include mumbling or trailing off at the end of sentences, speaking too quickly or using unclear pronunciation that suggests annoyance, speaking without looking directly at the person, and glancing around restlessly, interrupting others mid-sentence to say your own piece, talking with food in your mouth, or spitting while speaking are examples of what is not proper conversation posture. It's also important to be cautious with informal speech. When your heart is humble and of service rather than seeking elevation, you'll avoid using informal speech. It might feel friendly within your own group, but the other person may not appreciate it. It's important to refrain from using informal speech with younger people just because you're older and feel more comfortable with them. You know, in Korea, you've got lots of circumstances where the superior at work speaks down and uses informal speech with the employees. Of course, you know, they might have an age gap of like 30 years, but, and sometimes they might use informal speech because it's, you know, friendly and more close. However, at times it is good to use formal speech. If you're a superior at work that uses both informal and formal speech, then, you know, you might be more respected. Of course, if you're a superior at work, and, you know, you've got like an age gap of 30 years, sometimes always using formal speech can be a little bit excessive. And it's, you know, it can feel a little bit strange. However, for myself as well, it doesn't mean I purposely speak in an informal and formal speech to the students, but, you know, some people prefer it. Instead of just speaking to people younger than you with informal speech, might impact the amount of, you know, respect that you receive. Of course, you are older, so you can use informal speech. Doesn't mean you can't, but, and it doesn't mean that, you know, the younger person should feel upset about it. However, it can be a little bit more respectful to use both informal and formal speech. The use of honorifics can depend on the country, but the basic principle is to speak with respect. This means using appropriate tones, speech patterns, and expressions based on the situation. Prayer is a conversation with God. You need to maintain proper honorifics and posture. Whether praying personally or on behalf of others, it's important to be alert and use appropriate, respectful language that suits the occasion. Your voice should be an earnest prayer, but still beautiful and gentle. If possible, you should kneel and pray with a proper and respectful posture. as if God was right before you. When engaging in conversation, avoid using excessive dialects, technical terms, slang, jargon, or foreign words that aren't common. These days, a lot of young people, you know, shorten words and almost as if they're acronyms. And when young people do that, older people, especially the older generation, they don't know. They don't know what you're talking about. So it's good to just, you know, speak normally so that they can understand. And for myself as well, you know, when you know these shortened words, these acronyms, these slangs, then you might in a friendly way or you know, in a fun way, tell your parents that, oh, you know, this means this and this means that. However, there are some terms that young people use within themselves, within their own group, but other generations don't know. So when you meet people that you might not always talk to, then it's good to respect others by thinking about what kind of words you choose to use. And that way, you don't make mistakes when you speak. Using natural gestures, facial expressions, and words can also leave a good impression, especially if used well. No matter how good your speech or communication skills, the most important thing is having a heart of respect. You must not judge others based on their appearance or social status, nor demean or disregard others based on personal emotions. This is clear evil and must be discarded. Sometimes there are times when you're at a restaurant and you are the customer and you receive, you know, good service, like free service. You need to think about how you act in that atmosphere where you are the one receiving things. Do you have the training and instruction of the Lord? Are you always serving other people? This is out of the usual place where you serve, you know, people that are higher than you, your superiors, your leaders, your group, you know, leaders, district, regional leaders, all those people above you, you would, of course, serve them. But what about in situations where you are technically in a higher position because at a restaurant, you are the one receiving service from the waitresses? So how do you act in those situations? Do you act rude? Do you ignore them? Do you demean them? Do you demean the workers? Then it's not proper before God. It's not right before God for you to have a, you know, a two-face. You know, only serving those that are higher than you just because, and not serving and being rude to people who you think is of a lower status. It is rude and impolite. Why? Because everyone in the world, all human beings, were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, even if they don't know Christ or even if they're not Christians yet. Sometimes, personally, I think, you know, I see worldly people and I think, how nice would it be for them to meet God and become a Christian and go to heaven? You know, in heaven, your whole life is recorded and it stays recorded. So if you're in a situation where you receive service and you show respect to the people who are serving you, then they will have a good impression of you. All of this is shedding the fragrance of Christ. And more importantly, everyone in the world was bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. So wherever you go, wherever you are, you need to shed the fragrance of goodness. If you consider every person like a precious soul, you'll approach them with service and goodness. What's the proper way to speak on the phone? Communicating by phone requires more care than expressing speaking facing to face. Sometimes, you know, you might feel a little bit tired, and the way you speak on the phone can be a little bit bad, might sound bad. And that can be difficult compared to speaking face to face, because at least even if you're tired, speaking face to face, you can control and express through your facial expressions. Same thing with texting or messaging. You know, a lot of people like, you know, texting and messaging because it's easier. Especially if you're, you know, just making a short appointment. It's easy to just send a text. But older generations, if they need to write a longer text, they prefer to call, most of them, because it's easier. Because you can't put all your emotions in a text. It's rude to say only what you want on a phone call and then just hang up. Or calling at late at night. Or talking for too long is also impolite. Phone etiquette is necessary when receiving a call. Talking loudly on the phone in subways, buses, or other public areas should be avoided. It's also improper to answer a call or check a text message during a conversation without first excusing yourself. If you're meeting someone important, it's courteous to turn off your phone from the beginning. If you've left it on for urgent reasons, answering a call or checking a message without excusal shows a lack of respect. This is when we see a generational difference. For myself, I'm middle-aged. But when I go to a cafe, I see young people sitting at the same cafe, and instead of talking to each other, they're literally sitting on their phones. And I see that, and it's extremely strange. And I'm sure there are older generations that feel the same as me, because in my generation, we sit down together and we're talking. Of course, sometimes you might need to research or find something out on your phone. So you do that together and then you share that information. But a lot of young adults these days, they just sit and they're on their phones looking at different items and doing their own work. So I sometimes think whether, you know, the amount of speaking that young adults do lessons. And of course, you know, these young people, it's natural for them to just be on their phones. But older generations, at least most older generations, they're used to speaking with each other face to face. And these older people, when they're with young people who are on their phones, they might misunderstand and think that the young people don't want to talk to them or that they're rude. And it's important for parents as well. Say you're at the dinner table and, you know, you've got the dinner table atmosphere where the young children don't really answer or talk and they're just on their phones. This is clearly rude. So it's important for parents to teach proper manners at the dinner table. If it's a family where proper manners are taught well, then the young children won't be on their phones or answer in one or two words. They'll speak and converse. when young people meet up, it doesn't mean that it's wrong to just, you know, be on your phones. If that's what you do, that's fine, because it's a generational difference. If young people are completely okay with not talking and just being on their own phones, that's completely fine. But when you are meeting with other generations that might not do what you do, that prefer to speak or converse, then you need to be respectful of that. Or tell them beforehand that you've got an important call coming up, or that you've got an important message coming up that you need to respond to. So, but when you are with other people, it's good to just put your phone on the side. So when you meet with me, and let's say we're in a group, and I see people that keep looking at their phones, then I might think that you don't want to meet with me, or that you've got something else that you want to do. So sometimes in a meeting, and I see people on their phones or keep checking their phones, I might ask, oh, do you have any important business? If I say that, then that means, you know, get off your phones. If you have left your phones on for urgent reasons, then of course you need to make sure that you let them know. It's not just about making phone calls. These days, phones are used for texting, you know, watching videos, reading the news, and browsing the internet. They all fall under the same situation. The way we behave around others in daily life can also reflect a lack of reverence before God. During worship or prayer, we should turn off our phones out of respect. Or putting it on silent. But if you put your phone on silent, but you keep using your phone, it's like being addicted. So, you know, sometimes people are addicted to their phones. Even if they turn it off or they put on silent and put it, you know, a meter away from them, they feel anxious or as if something is lacking and they want their phones. This is clear addiction. So when other people see you, I hope that we can, you know, have a character and attitude and posture where we're upright, you know, where we're respected. You know, I hope all Manmin Central Church members can receive love and gratitude and respect wherever it is that they are. So it's good to think about manners and etiquette. But young people, sometimes they don't realize that it's rude to look at their phones in front of older people. And same thing with young people. If other people do things that you get upset about, then you need to keep that as a training lesson and not do the same. We're living a life where we've got multiple generations living side by side, so it's important to be respectful. Let's look at the final aspect of interpersonal skills, the way we treat others. There are manners and attitudes to be upheld in every relationship, whether with a spouse, parent, children, sibling, relative, neighbor, friend, or at work. It's especially important not to treat close relationships such as family or friends carelessly just because they're comfortable. The closer the relationship, the more we should uphold courtesy and patience. This can prevent conflict and allow for peaceful and happy relationships. When, you know, the word waiting is important. If you've, you know, if there's a person that you don't really like, then you just, you know, say blunt words easily. or if there is a person that you find quite difficult, then you don't always, you can't always speak, easily. But then in family situations, say you're at the dinner table and you don't have the food that you like, and then you end up saying to, say, your mum who cooked, "Oh, I don't have anything that I like. Please, make me something else." But if you do that, then it can be pretty rude to your parents who cooked for you, or to whoever it is that cooked for you. It's not always considered polite to just say everything that you want to the person you feel comfortable with. When I speak with people around me as well, I try to find out what they like and what they don't like, and what they like to eat and what they don't like to eat, so that I can always keep in mind, and make sure that we have, that I can also serve other people. And I will remember that for the next time. It's just having courtesy between each other, not just always saying, "I don't like this, I don't like this, I like this, and I like this." It's not always a good personality to just directly say everything that you want to say to other people. Let's say, the other person served you really well, but it's not the way you like. But it's, not very polite to just say, "I don't like this." You might speak in a softer way or a different way and express your opinions. There are times when you need to wait for other people, and there are times where you need to wait yourself in the way you speak. In all relationships, it's essential to show interest and affection, along with an effort to understand the other person's perspective. Out of respect and honor for others, we should be considerate, express gratitude, and demonstrate care through kind words and actions. Kind words and actions is extremely important, especially within families as well. Let's not forget to congratulate, comfort, greet, and apologize for mistakes or wrongdoings. For myself personally, my mother, Prayer President Bok Nim Lee, their birthdays, wedding anniversaries, siblings' birthdays, Parents' Day, my mother always told me to make sure that you don't forget these special days and prepare gifts. And gifts mean getting pocket money, whether it's a small amount, and just, saving up all your pocket money just to buy a small gift. And for Pastor Mi Young Lee, she received bus money to go places. But instead of taking the bus, she saved that to buy a gift when necessary, whether it's a birthday or a special Parents' Day or anniversary. It's important to serve other people, whether it's, buying a small piece of bread or a small cake or even a card. If you need to congratulate someone, then you need to congratulate them properly. And in these times when this happens, then the love and affection and that relationship that you have with other people grows. But if you just think, I don't need to receive anything when it's my birthday, so I don't really care about other people, then it's not having a good relationship. How do you grow? You grow by you know, congratulating and giving to other people and maintaining a good relationship. So when I was young, and, you know, for Children's Day in Korea, I always received a present. Of course, when I went into middle school, I didn't, but when I was young, I did. And, you know, in New Year's, I would always greet and prepare anniversaries, birthdays, special events, special days. You know, we would always prepare gifts or something as a commemoration. So, you know, it's not hard to serve. Just from little things, little actions. It doesn't have to be expensive. It doesn't have to be big. Just small actions, you know, as much as you can. It's important to apologize for your mistakes as well. You know, there are personalities where they're so embarrassed and so apologetic that they can't say sorry. But the right thing is for you to apologize and then change your wrongdoings. But some people, their personalities, they don't say sorry. They just show it through actions. But no, you need to say sorry. And, you know, if there are times where you need to get in trouble, then you get in trouble. Between a superior and an employee, at times when you need to get in trouble, you get in trouble. And it's, you know, easier for the superior as well, because it's like a fresh start. It's a clean slate when you get in trouble. You apologize, you get in trouble, then it's a clean start. Of course, there are times when, you know, some people avoid their boss because they don't want to get in trouble. Then when this happens, then the trust, the relationship of trust between yourself and your boss, it starts to disappear. When it's a big mistake, then apologize accordingly if it's a serious mistake. But if it's a small mistake, then, you know, apologize lightly and try and change. Making requests, you shouldn't treat your children carelessly either. No one should be criticized insensitively, as it can create rifts in the relationship. Making requests that inconvenience others for your own benefit should be avoided, or going beyond what is necessary out of loyalty or emotional obligation should also be restrained. Like I said before, just because you're so close to another person, you're just, you know, you easily ask for things. You easily ask to buy you things, to do this, to not do that. If, you know, if you've got two people that are really close and one person always keeps asking or wants things done for them, then the other person at the end of the day will start to get tired. You know, you need to have a give and take relationship. But, you know, if you receive things, so you need to have the ability to return that back, whether it's, you know, in a different way. If parents do everything for their children, then the children will lose their independence. They won't become, you know, independent adults. You need to realize that these children that grow up as dependent adults, they make other people's lives tiring and difficult. Even if, you know, you're old right now, even if you've lived a long life, but you're dependent, you can still change and become an independent person. It's not right to be burdensome to other people, and because it can lead to awkward or strained relationships. With a superior, Ephesians 6 verses 5 to 7 reminds us, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as people pleases, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will render service as to the Lord and not to the people. This teaches us that we ought to treat others as if we are serving the Lord. To superiors, we should show proper respect and courtesy. When interacting with those in subordinate positions, we must never speak down or act superior. A person who holds truth and goodness in the heart with the discipline of the Lord will even serve a stranger or the least of these as if to the Lord. Jesus set this example and taught us to do the same. Matthew 10, verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones just a cup of cold water to drink in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Matthew 18, verse 10. See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven. If a person's heart is truly dedicated even to the least and serve others with goodness and love, then serving everyone with proper respect and kindness will not be difficult. Father God wants our hearts to be transformed and is pleased with our transformed hearts. The relationship that we have between people is, you know, part that we looked at. Next week, we'll look at proper posture and demeanor.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, try to avoid their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high and low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revived. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.